Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Oh, I'll have a gin fizz.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Mark.
Evening, Mark.
How are we doing?
Oh, good, mate. You?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, yeah.
Good, good, good.
Fantastic.
Went to your birthday yesterday, Bob.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Yes, mate, it was, yeah. I spent the entire day working.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well,
lovely.
Did you get anything nice?
Yeah, I did, actually. I got some wonderful things, and I went away for the... I went a week, actually, or a few days with the family in the caravan.
What were your favourite present?
Ooh.
You didn't get any?
That's a good one.
Well, I didn't buy them all.
I got too many to mention, mate. Honestly, too many to mention. They're all fantastic.
Were there anything in particular that you liked?
Just all fantastic.
All of them?
It all is equally as good. You've not given me yours yet, so I'll...
You won't get any from me. I don't do presents.
Thanks.
No, you're welcome.
So you went away in the van?
Yes, to a place called Don Amos. It's a lovely site. We've been before. Don Amos.
What?
D-O-N... Amots.
Is that in the UK?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
It's near. It's not far from Skegness.
Oh, there we go.
Never heard of it.
Is that actually how you might say it?
I don't know, but it's Amots.
Yeah,
it
might be
Don Amots.
It could be Don Amots. I call it Don Amots, but yeah.
Don Amots.
It's a lovely chat.
Yes, we went to the Chateau Le Don Amots. Wobble box.
Absolutely. And we had a great time with family, as usual. However, while
we
were there... You
what? Was the weather nice?
Not amazing. No, it's not been great for a while, has it?
No.
But whilst I were there, I had a bit of a, I wouldn't say life crisis, but for the first time, I've really truly acknowledged that I've got quite a lot of grey hair coming through. Ooh. And it's only on the sides, but it's getting really bad.
I think it always starts on the side, or am I wrong?
Yeah, it generally does, doesn't it?
It generally does, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've got any in the middle of my head. It's just all on the sides, but it's like, and to the point where I've noticed it, because someone were literally sat outside and were like, oh gosh, Rob, look at your grey hair.
Just oh, nice what you want to
hear,
isn't it?
Oh, Rob, you're turning into a badger.
But ironically, probably not ironic, but the social media, I don't know how it knows, because I don't believe I've spoke about it, but all of a sudden, hair dye adverts constantly peppering my social media.
I have the same problem.
Well, some of it is black, if it's black.
But literally, all the time, you get these things coming up, you know, because it seems to be the craze at the minute, beard and hair dyes that you can buy. And honestly, all the time I'm getting them, and it makes you more and more like, oh, should I be dyeing it? Should I not be dyeing it?
This is the $1 million question. Will you?
Well, the thing is, I've always said, I'll never dye my hair. I'm going to go grey gracefully. I want to be a silver fox, right?
Okay, yeah.
But when you get to that point, and because it's only on sides and not top, you start thinking, this just looks a bit of a mess. Like it doesn't. I'm neither one nor other. I'm definitely not a silver fox, and I don't know what I am. And it's like, oh, do I just try it? Do I just sample and see what it would look like if I dyed it? I dyed a bit of my beard and dyed, you know, a bit of my hair. But I'm literally like, I don't know what to do. What do you think?
I wouldn't.
No.
Well, I get where you're coming from, Robin. I think that if you're the sort of person that got like a big like single patch, let's say just in one area or whatever, then I can understand then why you'd be like, I may as well just try and cover that up.
Yeah.
But while ever it's growing through your hair, even if it's just on the sides or whatever.
Flex of
grey. Then actually, I think it's got quite a distinguished look. You know, not just in you. You know, in let's say men in general.
Yeah.
That I think it is quite a distinguished thing. You know, I mean, I've been getting grey hair for a few years, to be honest.
Yeah.
But for me, it's my beard.
Yeah.
So obviously, only for the past maybe what, 2 years or whatever, I've grown what you would
but
class
like you
as a,
said, it gives you character.
Beard. I think it does give me character. However, it also, because it's like got more grey in it than ever, I think it really does age me.
Yeah.
So I think beards can age men anyway. Well, I'm guessing they age women as well, beards. But
they would do, yeah.
But I think beards age men anyway.
Mm.
But the fact that now, I wouldn't say that I've got massive amounts of grey hair in my head, but yet my beard is practically
grey,
all grey.
Yeah,
yeah,
or certainly silver. So I have wondered.
In a darkened room, it's like Rolf Harris.
I'm saying that, though. You don't want Rolf Harris in a darkened room, do you?
But yeah, so I have wondered. Just because I quite like my beard, and I don't mind the fact that it's grey, but I have wondered about whether to get one of them. Is it like beard mascara thing that you can buy?
Yeah.
Just to see what it looks like.
Hang on,
Mascara?
Are we recording this?
Someone's
press record. Yeah.
You're not going to be putting fake eyelashes on next.
No, but it is a thing that, and it is just an alternative to dye. Instead of dyeing it, it's just like a brush that you just brush
on. Just brush it through.
It is just a dye, basically, but it's not permanent. It washes out.
I've got no words. I've got no words.
Yeah, but listen. The thing is I don't mind the grey, and I don't mind. You know, I've always looked a little bit older than what I am, and I get that. But I am only 41.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes I think the fact that I've got a full grey beard, silver beard, that it does age me a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot. Like if I completely shave my beard off, it probably knocks the equivalent of like 10 years off. Look, I recently went to London, right? Took the kids. There were me, two of my kids, because one of them, the other one was in Florida, bless her. Two of the kids and my wife and my ex. My ex is the mother to my kids. But I'm not going to go into that. That's a different story. But yes, there's me, my wife, my ex and the two kids went to London. The kids were sat there having the drawing done in Leicester Square, having like a caricature done. And the guy that was doing the drawing, he was saying how much the kids look like me. So I was obviously saying, no, you know, of course they look like me. I'm the dad. But then he looked at Kylie, who's my ex, who's the mother to the children, and said that she also looked like me. And couldn't understand, because as far as he was concerned, Kylie was my daughter. along with the others.
And how old's Kylie?
She's 36.
You're a dad.
She doesn't necessarily look like old. I get that, you know. But like, you know, when you kind of come away from that situation, it's funny, don't get me wrong, but you kind of come away and you think, how old did he think I were?
Yeah.
But how old did he think he were?
Did you get off the mobility scooter and start walking after that?
Yeah. But yeah, you get to a point where you think, and that is purely, I don't believe that he'd have thought that if I'd have either not got a beard.
Yeah.
Or whether my beard was you know, dark, like my haircut. Yeah. So I've toyed with the idea, just see how it looks, and that's why I say about beard mascara as opposed to dyeing it.
Yeah.
But then again, I do look at it sometimes and think, there's nothing really wrong with it.
No.
There's nothing wrong with it.
We'd have to change all our artwork if you dyed it as well.
My problem is the fact that I'm a perfectionist and getting the right colour. Because I just think it looks ridiculous.
You're going to have to style it out, Rob, aren't you? You're going to end up with a monocle.
A
cane,
a waistcoat.
With a pocket watch.
I don't think I'd ever get the right colour. I think I'd end up doing it and seriously regretting doing it. And it comes out, doesn't it? But I just think I'd look a bit of a pillock. So
I haven't heard that word for ages.
Pillock.
Yeah,
it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mark, you know when you had hair.
Yeah. Well, hang on, let me think.
Had it gone grey before you shaved it all off?
No, I was quite lucky they had not gone grey.
In them days,
gray.
It was black and white.
I've never had grey hair. No, I mean, I've got, as you can see, I've got my beard.
Your
beard's
fully grey as
well, isn't
it?
I mean, I've got ginger in my beard. I've got ginger, I've got grey, I've got
ginger in my beard. I think.
I mean, I don't know where's ginger coming from, but no, I were lucky never to have grey hair.
I thought it was Doritos.
Mark, so, you're doing really well. You don't look like you've got any grey in yours.
I have. Yeah, yeah.
But he dyes it.
I've got one of those head mascara things.
What is it you said?
Head mascara thing.
Mascara.
But seriously, you don't look like you've got much at all.
I have got some bits, yeah.
Tiny, though.
Yeah,
in comparison, I've got loads going off.
And have you ever grown a bit of a beard? Because, I mean, I'm saying, have I ever?
Yes. It wasn't a beard because I can't... I can't grow a beard. Obviously, I can because I have to shave quite regularly. But I once tried growing sideburns.
Yeah.
And I were only young, I don't know, early 20s, let's say. And but they were just like two tufts stuck outside of my chin. They didn't join up with my hairline. So they were like just like two like Scotch pads. Are they called Scotch pads? Like Brillo pads.
Yeah, Brillo pads.
Yeah. Just stuck to the side of my cheeks. I've been that off. Yeah, I'm not. I don't think facial hair suits me.
It would be interesting though, wouldn't it, for you to grow it a bit and see if it came through grey or.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you though, doesn't it, that when we talk about, you know, there's no getting away from the fact that we are middle-aged.
Absolutely.
Would you still class yourself as middle-aged?
Yeah, absolutely. I class myself as young, just middle-aged.
Young, just middle-aged?
Yeah.
Well, that still makes us teenagers, isn't it?
That's just me classing myself as that.
Middle-aged top ever.
Middle-aged top ever. Yeah, there's no getting away from it, is there?
Absolutely,
you know,
not.
And it is about embracing it. And that's one thing that we do talk, you know, we say about should we dye his hair or should we dye his beard or whatever. But fundamentally, it's just part of the aging process, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you feel like you've got to start accepting because you are, you know, and I'm not going to go into this, but just everything, like, you know, keeping slim is just it's harder. You know, everything just seems harder. I think you said it the other day, Kirk, bending down to tie his shoelaces and getting back up again. It's just harder, even though it's not hard. I'm not saying it is, but you just and aches and stuff like that.
Just
get a little bit more, and you start noticing it.
Well, I've got a story on that. You're saying about bending over to tie your shoelaces. I'm at an age now where I'm going, I can't deal with shoelaces.
That's where you got Velcro.
So I have to have Velcro. Mark's just spotted.
He's gone back into gone backwards.
I have to have Velcro.
You're like Benjamin Button.
Even that's bad because I have to bend down to flip the Velcro off, so I have to have slip-on shoes now. And that's how bad it is.
Slip-on
shoes.
Oh
yeah.
My days!
Have you got one of those shoe horns?
No ones.
Bet you bought them sketches, haven't you?
I've been looking at them.
He's got them.
In all fairness, I've been looking at them. Them slip-on sketches.
They are amazing.
I have been looking at them.
Best shoes I've ever, and they're so comfy.
Honestly, bet you wear tenner for men as well, don't you?
That is another issue with middle age.
Absolutely, it is.
It's just the way I'm sat.
Yeah,
Mark.
It's like you can't, like trying to, when you turn tap off and you're like, I'm sure I've turned it off. Why is it still dripping?
Or I'm noticing I have to get up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
I never had to do that. Never had to do that. Unlike you, Mark, you just pee in wardrobe.
On a Saturday
Not
night.
Not me. I've been getting up to the toilet for like past 15 years, so.
We know.
You're 15 years older than us.
Yeah, you're improving. We're just seeing everything that we've got to come.
I know.
Yeah, I know. It's not good.
I'll tell you what, I felt really old last year. I were at a festival bouncing around to Jaguar Skills. You were playing an absolutely thumping drum and bass set, and I love drum and bass. It were a fantastic set. And there were these kids, well, I say kids, late teens, early 20s, and they were pointing at me like I was something out of Greatest Showman. I were like, ooh, an old man dancing, you know, and I was like thinking, you know, I'm 20 and I'm and I'm bouncing around like a lunatic, and I felt really old after that.
Yeah, when you're noticing that people are like looking at you, like you say, almost like you're a novelty. Yeah. Like you're a novelty.
Yeah.
You know, like them old people that used to go into Rotherham Town Centre when we were younger, and they used to be dancing in nightclubs.
Jack and Jean.
Yeah, Jack and Jean.
Yeah, they were legends, they were.
They were. I mean, I don't think we're quite that old yet, are we? But
no.
Do you have problems remembering stuff? Because I genuinely have got a thing now where I'm struggling to remember things. Just things that I'd always thought I'd have no problem remembering that, but I forget things. And it's almost as if...
Like when you walk into the kitchen and you go like that, what did I come in here for?
Well, absolutely, I've been doing that for years. But to the point where you almost feel like you've got a 1 terabyte hard drive in your head. And it's full.
And it's full.
Mine's not that big. Mine's only like 12 kilobytes.
12 kilobytes.
Well, it's literally
he's on a 1.44 floppy disk, aren't you, Mark?
Yeah,
he needs defragging.
But that's it. You do feel like you know, and you almost get to a point where I've now started thinking, I have to be, what's the word? I have to think about what I want to actually remember and what I don't want to remember, what I choose to remember. Is that worth remembering? No, don't, just forget about it. No, it's not worth it. I ain't got the capacity for that. Do you know, like, it's a serious thing.
It is. I have to make lists of what I have to do.
I do.
I have to make, and I'm not talking about shopping lists, right? I'm talking about lists of what I've got to do for that week, for that day, and then they're quite precise lists, because I forget stuff.
I'm exactly the same. If I don't make a list, mate, it then stresses me out that I'm trying to remember everything, and I'm thinking, I'm going to forget all this. I'm going to forget it.
See, my handwriting is that bad. If I wrote a list, I won't be able to read it anyway.
Yeah, very true.
Hieroglyphics.
I mean, I must admit, my memory isn't... I don't consider myself to have a terrible memory.
Right.
Obviously, we can all have memory lapses and forget certain things. Mm. But I must admit, it's not something that I've noticed as I'm getting older, where I'm like, oh my God, I'm forgetting to do stuff. Mm. I don't suffer with that so much.
I tell you what I do for memory, though. This sounds really bizarre, but if I've got to really remember something, I'll put like a, I don't know, like a spoon or something. I'll put it on the floor or on a chair. And it's not related to what I've got to remember, but when I see that spoon, I'll go, oh, I've got to go and record that TV programme.
I bet you don't. I bet you go, who's put that bloody spoon there? Yeah.
No, why is it there?
I forgot.
No,
that's what if I'm in the kitchen and I'm going, oh, I see an advert for a TV drama and I'm in the kitchen. And I ain't got my phone with me, so I'll just take a spoon out of the drawer and put it on the table or something. And because it's not normally there, when I'm done with it, I'll see the spoon and go, oh, TV programme, and I'll go upstairs and record it. And that works.
Really?
Yeah. I know people's going to go, like you guys are going, well, what's that spoon got to do with that TV programme? But that does work.
Hey, listen, I'm going to try it.
It's like a secret serial killer or something.
It's aliens arrived.
Yeah, you've like knocked me sideways.
I've told my son Ethan, he does it, and it works for him as well. It could be not an object.
I can see you on Dragon's Den.
Not
with
related
spoons.
To anything.
Memory spoons. Memory
spoons. It don't need to be a spoon. It can be anything. It can be a pen. It can be a watch. Anything. Just if you put it out of play. I mean, obviously, you've got to be quite organised.
I can't wait till next time I come to your house. I'm putting spoons everywhere.
They don't need to be spoons.
I'm getting more miserable with age. Not miserable. That's not the right word. Do you know we...
happy?
No.
Grumpy.
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 That's the word.
That's why I
feel like I'm getting a bit grumpier with age. Grumpy. You know, like you tend to have less of a tolerance for things before you just do it like... Mm. I don't know what it is. I don't know. And it's almost like I'm...
That ball comes in here again. I'm putting a knife in it.
Yeah. I'm only just starting to notice it. But I have definitely seen signs of thinking, wow... When you were younger, you always said you weren't going to be like that. You know, you can see them creeping in. Like nieces and nephews come round and they want to play or they want, you know, Uncle Rob, come and do this, come and do that. And I always wanted to be that uncle that always said, yeah, you'll always play with them. You'll always be like, yeah, you'll go and do whatever they want to do. But, there's times where you just think... Can't be bothered.
And you're like, no, bugger off, I'm tired.
Yeah, I'll be up in a minute.
I'll just fill in this risk assessment first.
Yeah. I'll come up in a bit. You know, you think, no, that I didn't want to be that uncle.
But this is the thing, though, that as you do get older, it's not... I get what you're saying about being more grumpy, and I've caught myself, probably quite a bit. I've tried to make a bit more of an effort over the past 6 months or so because it was starting to bother me that I was starting to say no to stuff, to everything. Everything. If it meant either going out or doing stuff or doing something a bit different or doing something out the box or unusual or whatever, my just default answer was no, don't want to do it. Mm. You know, and that was it. But there is an element of as you get older. We've said it there before. We get tired. We feel a bit more tired easily. You know, we've been working. I mean, think about it now. We've been working for 25, 26 years.
Yeah.
You know. Now I know we've got another 20, possibly 30, 40 years left on working.
He's cheering you up, Rob.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is we've got more aches and pains. We do get tired. And we've got to accept that there are going to be times when we just can't do what we did 20 years ago, 25 years ago. No. You know.
You know you're getting older when you're on first name terms with a doctor.
Chance would be a fine thing to get to see a doctor. but... That's when you know you're old, when you're complaining about stuff like this. All I've heard you complain about is for the past 2 weeks, it's weather. That's when you know you're getting old.
It's ruining my dahlias. That's a plant, right?
A dahlia.
Yeah. I think I've seen it on telly.
A dahlia.
Sounds like a flower to me.
Yeah, I think it's a flower.
We'll run with it. But something I was thinking about the other day is just how are we viewed? To other people,
yes.
To younger people.
You mean our age group? We are.
So like, I know we laugh and joke about it and stuff, but it's right what they say. And my dad used to say the same thing, that your body ages, you know, but your mind doesn't. Like you were saying there, Mark, about you were in a festival bouncing away to drum and bass, because as far as you're concerned, you love that, and in your head, you're
20.
You're 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know, but I think back now to when I was younger. And I used to look at my mum and dad, for instance, they ran pubs and stuff, and I'd look at them and thought that they were old.
Yeah.
That they was old to me, that they were my parents and they were running a pub and they were old. You know, but thinking about it now, they then were younger than I am now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I tell you what, there was something on TV the other day that, like, I won't say stopped me in my tracks, but made me think, like we talk about, we age. So, Princess Diana, she was 36 when she died. Jill Dando was 37. We're older than them.
Wow.
And they were like, they were old. When we were like, when that happened to those two people,
yeah.
We were like, we were kids, like, oh,
yeah.
You know, and it's and amazing. They're younger than what we are now.
It is amazing how your brain makes people appropriately aged to based on what you are at the time. So, literally last night, Terminator 2 was on, and I remember the scene. Well, one of the scenes where John Connor comes on, and I was just staring at the screen, going, "Oh my gosh, he's like 11 year old." Mm. When I watched T2 when I was little, I don't know how little I was when I watched it. Probably younger than I should have been. I thought he would have been 17, 18.
Yeah.
And now looking at it back now as an older guy going, oh my gosh, he was literally a young boy, 11 year old. Mm. He was obviously either my age or just a bit older. You know, that blew my head. I was like, wow.
Do you know, I weren't paying attention when you first started that conversation because I'm thinking, John Connor, he went in Titanic.
No, he wasn't.
But yeah, he does just go to show, like, exactly what Kirk's saying. That the way you perceive people, and then you start thinking, at our age now, what are they, how do they view me? How are they viewing me, people that are younger? Because you treat them as though you're the same age sometimes. Yeah, yeah. You know, because in your mind, you're the same age. You know, I work with lads that are 19, 20, up to, well, they're all different ages. But, you know, round about your 19 to 25-year-olds, you talk to them as if you're one of them.
Yeah. And you're Mr. Benny.
Sir.
Yeah. And you're, but you forget how they're actually looking at you, whether they're looking up to you or whether they, you know, they're probably not looking at you as if you're on the same level.
Yeah.
Whereas you are almost putting yourself in their shoes going, yeah, we're the same. We're similar. And you're thinking, no, you're not the same at all. And you can spot little differences in maturity. But other than that, you want to believe that you are the same age as them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and there's all sorts of scenarios that you can think up where you think, oh gosh, yeah, that could get you into trouble or that, you know, because you just associate yourself as being a similar age to them and you're not.
Do you think though, because it's a society thing, I mean, I look back at pictures of my parents, like when, I know we've already spoken a little bit like this, when they're like in the 30s and 40s.
They carved out in slate.
And you look at them and like they've got like, you know, like my dad's got a suit on and a tie and all that lot. And like back then, it's for society, like when you're sort of 40, that they look really old. Yeah, we're obviously in his 40s, you know, I'm in my 50s and that. And as years go on, as societies go on, the generation generally is getting younger and younger.
Dressing younger and behaving younger.
I mean, I know there's one thing, feeling young. I'm sure they felt, you know, when they were in the 40s and 50s, I bet they felt like we do. I don't think that changes. But how you look in society, how you dress and what they did, it's completely different now. I mean, you know, like I said, you look at, I just think in like 40, 50 years time, you know, my son or whatever, he's going to look even younger than we did. Does that make sense? Because as the years go on, it gets younger and younger.
Yeah. Well, as the fact that you've also got the fact that with modern advancements and abilities, there's people doing things to make them look younger.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily drastic things, but even like Botox and stuff that does kind of stall that aging process a little bit. Those sort of things as well.
It makes me like being attacked by a swarm of wasps.
Yeah. In some instances, definitely.
I'm stepping away from the middle-aged bit to, like, grandparents. So, I remember my granddad, he'd get up in the whatever day it was, trousers, shirt, if we were going to newsagents, tie on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to go to the shop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, if you went to a pub for a couple of pints on an afternoon, full suit, jacket, trousers.
Exactly.
And, I don't think, well, I certainly don't think I'll be, you know, I'll be in jeans, tracksuits, whatever, you know.
Do you know, it's a good point that, have any of you recently started to, I won't say that you've made a conscious choice to address how the fact that you dress, but do any of you think about, like, the wardrobe that you're wearing and how it's changing? Because I've literally done this in the last 2 weeks. You know, where you've looked at what you're wearing and gone, I don't know if I want to wear that anymore. Like, I've looked at things that I've had for years and you think, is it time to throw it out? And you think, I don't wear
how
it.
How will I be perceived wearing that?
Yeah, ripped jeans.
Do you mean because it makes
Simpsons
you...
Simpsons t-shirt.
Do you think because that makes you look older, or it makes you look you're too old to wear that because it makes you look young?
Yeah, it makes it look like I'm trying to look younger. I'm trying to be something I'm no longer.
Oh, okay. It's funny you should say that because I've got a pair of ripped jeans and I ain't worn for ages. And I did exactly, and it's funny that you should bring it up because I looked at them exactly the same and I thought, oh, and then I thought, I can't wear them. I can't wear them.
Yeah.
Because like, you're too old to wear them.
Too old to wear them.
And mine were worse because they were skinny jeans. And because, you know, and really, when I bought them, I probably was too old for them. But, I bought them last week and they weren't ripped and they looked, you know, but they were fashionable.
I don't know how people can wear skinny jeans. They touch your legs all the way down.
Yeah, absolutely. But they were fashionable at the time.
It makes me feel uncomfortable.
They were fashionable at the time. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? But now we come to an age where comfort over fashion.
Yeah.
Because it's just comfortable.
Well, I was just about to say the same. I mean, I've never been fashionable. I'm sure you know that about me. I've never been fashionable. But more now, I definitely think to myself, well, no, I'm wearing that because it's comfort.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care where it's from. I don't care how much it's cost. I don't care whether it's
taking a pile cushion in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't even care if it's got a stain down it nowadays. if it's comfy to wear, then that's what I'm wearing.
Yeah, well, that seems to be the direction I'm going in. And like chinos, they're so much more comfortable to wear, you know, rather than always wearing jeans. Yeah. They're another option. But I like the idea of wearing something that I feel represents a little bit more my age. So I like the idea of wearing chinos with maybe a shirt and a nice wool jumper over the top. Or... like you said, I mean, not wearing a tie, but, you know, wearing a shirt with a pair of chinos for just normal a Saturday, you know, going out.
Gardening.
Well, you know, going out for lunch on a Saturday or going somewhere on a Saturday, but actually, you know, dressing a little bit more like makes you feel good and whatnot. But it's just very different to what I would have worn where I'd chucked a hoodie on, you know, some jeans. And now I just prefer to, you know, dressed a little bit differently.
What I'd like to say, what I find strange about society, and this is more of an age thing, but like when you're young, and it don't matter what generation we're talking about here, but when you're young, a lot of young people obviously will do a lot of extreme sports. They'll do things that are dangerous. And again, I'm not saying that's wrong, but you know, they almost like feel the invincible, don't they? When you're young, we felt like that when we were young.
Yeah.
And that they'll do bungee jumping, extreme sports, like I said, you know, rally racing, all when they're young, but yet they've got the whole life ahead of them, but they'll take these risks. And again, I'm not saying they shouldn't, I'm just saying they'll take these risks. But yet, when you're old, or particularly when older people, they ain't got, and this sounds awful, but they ain't got much of their life left if they're, you know, 90 or whatever, but they'll not go out to...
They're in their overdraft.
But they'll not go out to house because it's a little bit eyesight and they might fall over. But you're like, I know this sounds a bit strange, but like, when you're young, you take risks and you could die, but you've only just started your life, but you're 80... and you're going to die, but you won't take a risk just taking milk bottles out.
Milk bottles out.
Do you mean, it's really strange that how you almost like when you're young, you don't realise how precious your life is and you'll take risk. But when you're old, you realise how precious your life is.
How fragile you are.
But you haven't got long to live, so what's the point?
But you want to make the most of every minute you've got, don't you?
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, as humans, the outlook... young, I'll take risks. I could die, don't matter. You're 90, I don't want to die. I'm not going to go outside.
It's going back to what you were saying, though, isn't it? That when you're younger, it's not the risk of you thinking to yourself you're going to die.
No.
Because you feel as though you're...
Invincible. Yeah, of course.
Indestructible.
But it's a strange thing. Is when you step back from it, you know, I mean, I know we all do it, and I'm not saying I want to, but when you step back from it, you think, how bizarre, you're 20, but yet you could die by doing that, but they go, don't matter. But you're 90, I'm not doing that, I might die. Well, you're going to die anyway, probably in a couple of weeks anyway. What's point?
Do you think that's why when people say when they get to 40s, and people decide or think that they want to do something different with their life, they want to change, they want to go in a different direction in the career, they want to start getting into, I don't know, do a new hobby or whatever it is. But sometimes there's a hold back, like they daren't do it. Some people might call it a midlife crisis, you know, but it's not, it's not necessarily a crisis. It's just that you want to change something. But as you were saying, when you're younger, you just do it.
You just do it.
But you get to this age and you then go, yeah, but I've invested all this time into that. So then do I change because it's not worth
it? I think there's two ways that I'd look at that. I'd approach that. I think the first thing is obviously the older you get, or certainly let's say in your middle ages, you've got more responsibility. So whether that's mortgages, house, bills, kids, you know, whatever it is, that tends to be the time when you've got the most responsibility to deal with. So I think that's always going to be a little thing that's like a, you know, tied round you, holding your back a little bit to make them risky chances. But I think it's also interesting on the other side that if you are of our age and you decide you want to make a change or make a difference, that I think it's quite funny that it's classed as a crisis.
Yeah.
You know, why should it be?
Yeah.
Why should it be the fact that because you want to try something new or do something new or change your direction at the age of 40, you know, 42, 43, whatever, why does it all of a sudden in society terms become a crisis?
Yeah.
A midlife crisis? Why?
Yeah. Or even when people go out and buy something that's a bit more extravagant.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's having a midlife crisis.
Yep.
Or they've saved up all these years and decided that now's the right time to do it, because if they wait any longer, they might deem it as being a bit too late to do it.
And not have a chance to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the same could be said for like certain hobbies. You know, doing certain things. You might have a hobby that you've done for years, or you might want to start a new one. But there's loads of things that I've thought about that seem to be coming to me now at this age and think, right, it's almost like I feel I'm running out of time now. I need to crack on. I've got so many things I want to do that I've not done yet. I've promised myself for years I'm going to learn to play drums all the time. And it doesn't help that I've got a nephew who's playing drums and he's doing really well, bless him. But every time I watch him, I go, yeah, I want to do that. I want to learn to play drums.
I want to do bang bang as well.
Give me some sticks.
Can't you
game to teach her?
Well, I probably could, to be fair. It's getting to that point where I'm always walking around drumming and I think, now's the time I need to chase that dream and do that, you know.
Yeah.
And there's loads of things I can think of. Am I the only one, or does anyone else?
Well, I've got an hobby that I want to do. Jigsaws.
Are you for real? I'm not laughing at you. I'm just saying.
I'm going to say don't hold back because Kirk's not. I want to do jigsaws. I like jigsaws. I used to know when I were younger. And then obviously I grew up a bit. And then.
What, we are a couple of Horlicks?
Yeah. No, I don't like Horlicks, no. I just don't stick to tea. But yeah, jigsaws.
I mean, that's a.
There you go.
It's a hobby, isn't it? End of the day.
I like
building my Lego. Some people would say, get a life, mate, you're 40. But I like building Lego. Why not?
I have thought about. I've always wanted to do boxing.
Right. Okay.
So I have thought about that.
He's not going to do it.
Well, I have thought about it because, again, and I know this sounds daft or whatever, but you know, I'd have to go in at a very beginner class. You know, I'm not the fittest person in the world. You all know that. You know, so there's the fitness aspect of it and stuff. But I've always fancied it. I've always fancied trying it. But everywhere you look, the beginners classes and stuff is full of kids.
Yeah.
You know, even the adult classes, you know, the beginner ones are full of obviously 19, 20, 21-year-old, 21-year-old, you know, adults or
thing
whatever.
Thing is, I reckon you'd find places, or even just an everyday place, that probably does have one or two older guys in. You just probably just haven't seen them.
Well, possibly. Yeah. But, you know, when you're a bit bigger and you know you're unfit and you want to try something and you know that your body is only capable at this point, you know, it's got its limitations when you get to 41 and 42. I'm not saying it's, you know, there's a lot of people that say, well, no matter what age you are, you can get your body into peak condition. I'm not saying that. But it's got its limitations when you're starting out.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't need or want anything extreme. But at the same time, I want to learn boxing. I want to try boxing. I don't just want to do box fit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or,
yeah.
or a fitness class. I don't. I've always fancied it. Probably. And I'm talking about I've fancied, like, it's been in my head for maybe 20 years. And I've just never done it. I've never took that step.
And what do you think is holding you back now? Would you say it's your age? But
knitting.
You thinking...
Knitting, yeah. I'm too busy with my knitting.
Would you say it's the age thing of thinking, assuming that you would stand out, you know, you'd walk in there and you'd be the oldest in the room?
Yeah, I think it's been the oldest in the room, not being able to keep up, not being able to even do the basics, you know, with what they're trying to do. You know, so I think that does hold me back. And yes, it's very easy for everyone around the table to sit here and go, oh, it won't be like that. I'm just saying that's something that I've always fancied doing. Mm-hmm. It's been in me, and it obviously would be classed as a hobby, going forward. But I would say that my age is, the, in my own head, is what's holding me back from going and giving it a try.
I think that is part of the problem with hobbies. In some, there's always something that stops you from doing certain hobbies, isn't there? So I've got hobbies. I've got plenty. Well, one of them is what we're doing right now. Yeah, we're making a podcast. It's a hobby. It's something I do outside of work.
Because at the minute, if more people had listened, it might turn into something else.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed. But outside of that, I like my photography. I like my videography, as you know. But I'd love to be able to go back and do more acting. You know, even in an amateur status, you know, get back on stage, live entertainment, get back on stage and do that. But unfortunately, in my instance, it's work prevents it. You know, my shift pattern stops it. I can't commit to something that is a regular every week thing because my shift pattern would stop me from doing it certain nights of the week, on certain weeks, and I just can't work around it. So there are things that you want to do but you just can't do because of other commitments.
And you're certainly too old to be playing the character in Blood Brothers again, mate.
Absolutely I am. Absolutely I am.
So what about Marks? What hobbies? What,
mate?
What hobbies? He likes jigsaws.
No, I don't have any hobby though.
Are you do you do a hobby now?
No. What about you, Mark?
Well swerved.
Yeah, he's alphabetizing his spoons. As you know, I like music. I love music, so I enjoy DJing. So I go in fits and spurts really with it. You know, sometimes I'll go at it and I'll be doing quite a lot of gigs, and then other times I think, you know what, I'll rein it in a bit and enjoy myself a bit more with my family and whatever. I like to mess around a bit of music production, and you know, but my problem is I tend to find excuses for being too busy to do the things that I enjoy doing. Yeah. And I put my own blockers in.
Yeah.
So I've got everything I need to do what I want to do. And that's almost taken the fun out of it because I've got everything and I ain't got an excuse to not use it other than making excuses.
Yeah.
You know, so I suppose making excuses is probably a hobby. But yeah.
I mean, going back to obviously me, I mean, my hobby, as you know, is music, but I formed that hobby into a business. So would you class that as an hobby for me?
No, that's your job.
That's your job.
Hence why I said I don't have hobbies, because it's my job. I spend a lot of time, when I'm not DJing, when I'm not working, I spend a lot of time, you know, researching music, watching programmes about music. I hold music, I sort of edit videos, I edit music. So I do it forms part of what I, you know, I sort of breathe.
But what do you do sleep to music. Take your mind off that, to as a chill out or as a get away from all that?
Just get drunk. Just go out and have a few beers.
Right, okay. Spend time with your son.
Yeah, spend time with my son and with my wife,
I do have a question for you, though, but talking about all this, you touched on it a little bit earlier, Rob. Would any of you consider any kind of plastic surgery or anything? Like any, you know, like to stay looking younger and,
absolutely
and stuff
not.
Like that? You're an absolute no way.
I don't like it. I don't like seeing it. I just don't like it.
Right.
I think people who have reconstructive surgery, they've had an accident or something.
Yeah,
I get that. But I'm not a fan of, you know, people messing around with, you know, what nature's, you know.
I wouldn't say plastic surgery. I think for me it's too far. But again, it's horses for courses. Depends on people's preferences or what it is they're trying to achieve. But things like Botox, where it's technically just freezing muscles or stopping muscles from working as much, that creates lines that makes you look older. That I'm a little bit less of a against. I haven't had it done. I've not had any of that. I've not done any work like that done. But I'm not as against that. I think as I'm getting older, I might, especially because it's becoming more and more accepted and not as, oh, what, you've got Botox, which 10 years ago, 15 years ago, would have been like, wow, and only the rich and famous had it because it was so expensive. Yeah. Whereas now it is less expensive.
And readily available.
I think the problem for me with stuff like that is you can tell that someone's had it done. It's same when the
not people always
do the lip fillers and things like that. You can see it.
Yeah.
And I think if people are going to do something because they're insecure, you know, and I understand that, you know, I think it's more important, I think, for people to sometimes tackle what it is that's caused them to feel like they do. But I think there are certain things that people do, and it just, I think it makes them look unnatural.
There are certain things that are unnatural.
There's definitely people that take it to a place
too far.
Yeah. Too far. Yeah. But there's also, I think, a very happy medium, if you like, where people are doing it just to correct something that they're not quite happy about and would make them feel better in themselves by doing it. And that's when I go, do you know what? Go for it.
The problem is with people that have got that, it's almost a dysmorphia, isn't it? And they see something differently to what other people say, and they find things that they say they're not happy with. But it gets bigger and bigger. I don't think people just keep at subtle.
Yeah.
I think because they'll get used to the fact that that's how they now look, well, I want to adjust it more. And then that's when people end up, you know, in some of the more extreme situations. But I mean, there are other things that I think, and I know, Mark, you've had it done.
Can you tell?
Because you're wearing glasses again. But I've been laser surgery, you know. Yeah. But that's not from an aesthetic point of view. I've thought about having it done. Just, you get up in the morning and you're trying to find your glasses and you're banging around. You're not, your glasses on the floor. You can't find them, you know. And to get rid of the hindrance, if you like, of wearing glasses. But I've worn glasses all my life, so I just got used to it and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you said you could tell if somebody's had plastic surgery or not. Could you tell?
I think it depends on...
Because I've had plastic surgery.
Have you?
Yeah.
Really?
I was waiting for Mark to go. I knew Mark's had plastic surgery.
I did not know.
So I was sat here now waiting patiently for him to come in.
In fairness to Mark, I know what you're referring to. You're referring to extreme plastic surgery where, you know, the lips are pumped up and what have you. So I get what you're saying. But I've had plastic surgery on my nose. So I've had quite a bit of work done on my face. But I mean, I know nobody can see me, but I've had my eyes done, I've had my nose done, and I've had my teeth done.
Yes,
but there's context to that, in fairness, because people listening are going to go, well, hang on a minute, he's a bit vain. So I'll explain about my eyes. I mean, as in, you've touched onto it, Mark. Obviously, I had my eyes lasered, so I didn't need to wear glasses.
Yeah.
I know I've got glasses now, but that's for reading. But for long distance, that's why I had it done for.
Right.
For long distance, so I don't need to wear them for that. For my nose, the reason I had my nose done is when I was 18, I was beaten up very badly, and I had my nose broken. And my teeth knocked out, which leads on to my teeth wall. So at the time, I had to have an operation that night because I couldn't breathe through my nose because my nose were really badly damaged. So I had an operation, but then I went back a couple of years later, I think it was about 3.5 years later, to have plastic surgery on my nose to correct it fully as it should have been.
Wow.
So I didn't. So again, plastic surgery wasn't because I were vain and I didn't like my nose. It was just...
Reconstruction.
Yeah,
yeah, reconstruction. Which I get. You know, I fully get that.
So that leads me onto my teeth. Again, the reason I had my teeth done, because obviously I had all my teeth knocked out, so I didn't have no teeth.
Flipping, eh?
And of course, NHS, as I think it still is now, obviously they're not going to pay for whitened dental implants and stuff. They'll just make sure you've got some teeth, so they just put it on I had my teeth on a pallet type of thing, but we're talking 80s here, so... I mean, your wife will know, you know, technology moves on.
Yeah.
Your wife, well, obviously, she's a dentist, so technology's moved on. So then I had to pay that for myself. So I thought, okay, I'll save up, and I had my teeth done. So I had dental implants put in, and I thought, well, I'll have them whitened, because you can choose the colour.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I'll have them whitened. So that's the reason behind why
I've had my teeth done. But again, not my story is nowhere near as elaborate as Mark's. Mine is I ate too many Mars bars. I ate too many sweets when I was little. And my teeth weren't even, they weren't straight, they weren't, that was nothing to do with eating loads of sweets. That was just the fact that they grew awkwardly. And because I'd eaten so many sweets, the dentist back then wouldn't then put a brace on.
Yeah.
They were like, there's no hope for you. No. So, bye.
I mean, we're going on to teeth. I wore braces for years and had operations on my teeth because my teeth were all, they grew all funny. And I had two pairs. But, you know, that... For me, it's a medical procedure.
Yeah.
You know, it's done because, you know, you're eating and you're biting the insides of your cheeks, you're biting, you can't eat properly because the teeth are where they shouldn't be. And, you know, but I didn't have anything fitted. I just, other than braces, they removed teeth that shouldn't have been there because I'd got too many of one tooth. And I don't know how it works. So I think there's a difference between medical procedures that reconstruct or correct something. I just think it's a little bit too throwaway that you can... You know, walk into something. I know you can't necessarily in boots, but almost like a boots, walk in. I'll just, you know, stick a needle in my lips or do this, and you know. And I just think it's a little bit sad, particularly when you can see it. You can see that someone's had it done. You know, it's almost like an accentuator than it is a.
I think I think I get where you're coming from. I mean, I don't. I don't like to. This sounds awful, but it doesn't do anything for me. You know, if I see, and I'm going to say mainly women that have the lips done or whatever, I do agree with Rob that I think that when we talk about it, we're talking about possibly extreme circuit, not even extreme, just beyond the slight norm, where you can look at somebody and go, well, they've had their lips done,
you know,
or they. Yeah. I bet there's a lot of people that may have had it done. And you don't notice because they've gone for that little subtle thing, that little subtle fill, that little subtle, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm dead against it because I'm a big believer that people should feel comfortable to do whatever they want.
And
you know, it's not hurting anybody else.
But I do
agree with you, Mark, to a degree. Well, I do agree with you that when it becomes past a certain point of whether it be lip size or boob size or whatever it is.
Well, they're doing bums and everything, aren't they?
Yeah.
Bums injected.
Yeah, that you get to a point where you go, okay, what is the root cause of this?
Yeah.
Because now your lips are taking over your face.
Yeah.
Or now you can't even buy a bra big enough for your boobs or whatever it is. So what is the key point? Mm. Let's try and fix is probably the wrong word, but let's try and delve into that a little bit. But when it comes to anyone just wanting small procedures, I don't think I'll be bothered because I'm perfect as I am.
Who says that?
My mum. But you know, I don't think I'll be bothered. But if my other half, for instance, came to me and said that she wanted, you know, something, and that's what she wanted, that's how she felt, and that's that would make her feel better and stuff like that, then. I don't think
that's what it is for me. It's exactly that. If it makes somebody feel better in themselves physically, if it makes them feel more confident about the way they look, again, in proportion to their body and how they are, then I think why not? It's not affecting anyone else. You know, if for instance, you've just touched on it, Kirk, if a female wants breast augmentation because she feels flat-chested and it would make her feel nicer in a dress, then go for it. Lovely. Absolutely. You know what I mean? But then you get your Katie Price's and you go, you didn't need that.
Yeah.
You didn't really need to go that far.
Yeah.
I mean, it does worry me. I mean, going back to what Kurt was saying, and Mark as well. Well, you as well, Rob. But this is when they're having the lips done, let's just focus on the lips. When it's done to a point where they look like a trout or whatever, massive lips.
The thing for me is, as you're talking about wives, I'd be devastated if my wife or any of my daughters felt low enough to have to want to go to change, because a part of me would feel like I've let them down.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I get that.
And that's why I think it's important. You know, I won't, you know, hide behind the fact I spend a lot of time complimenting Helen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's important, I don't mean I just do that willy nilly, throw away. No, it's definitely not throw away. I mean everything that I say.
Yeah.
But it's important that she knows how attractive and how beautiful I think she is, you know, and it's reinforcing the you know.
And she absolutely is, Mark.
Yeah.
And I'm totally with you. What I'm talking about is that as people age, things change.
I get that. Things drop. I get that. People want to, you know. Who am I to say you shouldn't have something done?
Yeah.
You know, I think that what I'm talking about is when they take it out of the realms of what would be seen as something corrective, if you like, to reduce something or, you know, but taking it to an extreme of, I don't want to say blatant vanity, but it goes a bit further than corrective, if you know what I mean.
I get what you're saying.
You know, where you look and you go, bloody hell, what have they done?
Yeah.
You know.
The only surgery I've ever seriously thought about, was a gastric sleeve. So my stomach removed. And that was almost like semi-recent, really, that I've been thinking about that over the last 12 months.
Mm.
I know a couple of people that's had it done, and, you know, they look amazing. You know, the weight that they've lost, and you know, one of the people that I know that's had it done, you know, would say that it's the best thing that they've ever done, and that they wish they'd have done it 20 years ago.
Mm.
But I'm quite sure all three of you around the table now would say that, over your dead bodies that you'd allow me to do it.
Absolutely, I'll drag you up Ben Nevis first.
Yeah, you've got to exhaust every other option first. Yeah, and what we're saying about what we've just been saying about plastic surgery and cosmetic work as well. Not that we've aimed it a lot at women, but it's surprising how many men are having all this work done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's just breast surgery you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Reductions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it's a thing, isn't it? I mean, people make jokes about people having turkey teeth, don't they? Where you go, and I think everybody comes back with the same set of teeth.
That's a carbon mould, an injection mould of teeth. Bite line.
I didn't even know turkeys had teeth.
Time at the bar, please.
Hey guys, I need to tell you this one more thing that I've just thought of. It's based on hobbies, right? This time of year, every year, I decide I'm going to be this year's pitmaster of the year when it comes to summer.
What?
Pitmaster. So someone pitmaster, yeah.
As in down a pit?
No. Is someone that stands behind a barbecue and creates epic barbecue food.
Oh, all right.
This time every year, the barbecue books come out. I start watching YouTube, and I think I'm going to be the next barbecue sensation, right?
You do know it's raining still, aren't you?
I know. But it comes summer, I've got a Weber barbecue, it'll come out. But I guarantee every year it gets to it, I've read all my books, I've got all the knowledge. I still go to Morrison's, buy a 12-pack of pre-seasoned chicken thighs, chuck them on barbecue, and that's me done for the year.
Case of beer.
Yeah. You say you read these books every year. Have you forgot the information from the year before? You need to read more books.
Always.
He said earlier that what his memory's like, Mark. Keep up.
Seriously.
Have you forgot that already?
I forgot that already. Seriously. I think I'm going to be on next Netflix Pitmaster. Netflix Pitmaster series, but no. Horrendous.
Well, Rob, I'll look forward to my invite.
And on that note.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's been a pleasure.
See you next week.
Bye, guys. See you, boys. Bye.
Do you have a dilemma? Maybe a burning question you're longing to be answered? Or you just want to get in touch with us? Why not drop us a voice note or a message over email at inthechat@gmail.com. That's two N's, not one N, because one N, it doesn't matter. inthechat@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.